Let's prepare our heart for God's word right now. Just pray with me. Father, I thank you for the word of the Lord. I thank you, Lord, for each heart and life that's here this morning to receive from your word. And I ask you, Father, for your help. Lord, that you would help me to say what I need to. Lord, exactly what you would have me to. And Father, I pray that each one will hear God's word today and respond to it, Lord, that they'll be doers of the word and apply it in their life, that we live to your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I want to say happy Father's Day as well. And gentlemen, I really appreciate you. You are that dad in our society, our culture today, that is so desperately needed. Fathers kind of get a bad rap because, well, the truth is there's a lot of bad fathers. But I thank God for godly men who serve the Lord and live for God and raise their kids in the fear and admonition of the Lord and, you know, are endeavoring to really please God in their life. We thank God for you and appreciate you so much. And the message I have this morning, I'm going to focus just a little bit and mention fathers, but I want you to know the message this morning is really for every one of us. We're going to wrap up our series today that's called Untangled, and it is about freeing up our lives from anything that would hold us back or keep us from really fulfilling the purpose of God in our life. We all need to realize that God does have a plan and a purpose for each and every one of us. There are things that God wants us to accomplish in this life. Now, our key verses for this series has been 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. It says, "You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier." Every sincere follower of Jesus wants to please him. We want to do what he wants us to do. We want to obey him. And at the end of this life, we want to hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." We want to know that we have accomplished the things in our life that were important to God, that we fulfilled the purpose and the plan of God in our life. I want to tell you there are a lot of insincere Christians today who just think it's all about them. And they think it's just some casual thing to call yourself a Christian. But when I read these two verses, I don't see some laid-back, casual, lukewarm Christianity. Instead, I see a committed kind of Christianity, something that puts a demand on us to really live for God as he calls us good soldiers of Jesus Christ. Oh, church, we've been enlisted. We've been called. There is a purpose that we need to be about and not let life just pass us by, not allow ourselves to get tangled up with the things of this world. And when we look back on our life, just say, "What happened?" No, instead, to know that we've really done what God wanted us to do in this life. We have an adversary. The Bible says, our adversary, the devil, goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But do you know that Satan it's not just about him taking away your physical life. No, more than that, he just wants to sideline you. He just wants to keep you from the plan and purpose of God in your life. He wants to entangle you in some way that you no longer are fulfilling your call as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We get so busy with a thousand different things that seem to be necessary at the time, but so often we fail to do the things that are really important. And you know, I think it's difficult in our time for fathers because there's so many demands put on us and so much, well, responsibility and so many different activities that we can involve ourselves in, and yet we have such a tremendous opportunity to affect the lives of our children for all eternity. What a great privilege and honor it is to be able to raise your children in the fear and admonition of the Lord and to see them serve God. You know, this culture will tell you, this society, what's politically correct is that, well, you know, you just got to turn your kids loose and let them just find their own way. But what they really mean is, hey, you just need to let Hollywood determine your kids' values. You need to let some rock star, music star determine your kids' views on life. Well, you just need to let this secular, mixed up, weird, religious world we live in determine your children's beliefs. No, fathers. It's our responsibility. It's our privilege. It's our joy to be able to teach our children the things that are really important, to show them what it is to serve God, to be a part of them knowing Jesus Christ in a personal way, to model that before them and for them to be able to follow our footsteps, however imperfect we might be. And I just want to encourage you, fathers, don't allow the busyness of life to keep you back from the things that are really important. But it's true for all of us. God wants to do certain things in and through our life, and yet we can find ourselves just so busy. We just doesn't seem like we have any time left. All of us have opportunities every day to make a difference in somebody else's life. The Bible warns us that Satan schemes. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 6, it tells us that we got to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might so that we can stand against all the wiles of the devil. It's the schemes, it's the tricks of Satan. That's how he works, is he deceives and he plans. And I want to tell you, he's been at it a really, really long time, and he's really, really good at it. And I want to expose one of his schemes this morning. Because when you're talking about sincere believers, those who really want to serve God, really want to please the Lord Jesus Christ, then seldom would Satan come and try to deceive you or give you a blatant option to the plan of God. I mean, he's not going to come and give you a road sign that says, well, here's the plan of God, but hey, why don't you go this way instead? That just wouldn't work, would it? And yet so many don't really fulfill God's purpose in their life because Satan is scheming and working. And let me tell you how he's doing that. He's getting people tangled up in the busyness of life. He's tangling up their time. He's just got them so busy with this and with this and with this that they fail to do the things that are really important. Busy with work, busy with business, busy running errands, busy with the house and the car and the boat and all the other things. Nowadays, we have all these time-saving devices that they call them time-saving devices, but they seem like they just cost us time. They consume our time. When people spend so much time watching TV, on the internet, on Facebook, texting on their phone, on and on and on it goes. And we are so unaware of how our time has been tangled up with all kinds of stuff. And we go through life, we go through our days totally unaware of the opportunities that God gives us to make a difference. Unaware of that still small voice that would speak to us, that would lead us and guide us and use us, because we're just so busy, hurried and frazzled, running here and taking care of this and doing that. And it's so strange in America today, they say the people work less hours and yet we feel busier than any generation before us. And when you talk about doing something for God and being involved in church and being involved in the things of God, people just feel like, I can't add anything else to my plate. I'm so busy already, so tangled up in their time, entangled in the affairs of this world. I'm telling you, church, we need to get free this morning. We need to get free from all this busyness and tangling up our time all the time where we feel under pressure and we don't have time to really do the things that matter the most. You know, when you talk about time, it may not sound like a really big deal, but you need to realize that your life is made up of time. Your life here on earth is made up of your time here on earth. Benjamin Franklin said it, do not squander time, for it is the stuff life is made of. How you spend your time, I got some news for you. That's how you spend your life. I know there's a lot of these kind of statistics and things out there, but I just want to get you started thinking about this just a little bit. When you consider how we use our time or spend our time, what we're doing with our time, we can talk about wasting time, and that doesn't sound like a big deal, but if you start talking about wasting your life, that sounds like a big deal. It's the same thing. If you're wasting your time, you are wasting your life. Now, they tell us that the average teenager today watches somewhere close to 3 hours of TV per day. It's actually declined in the last 10 years, I don't think, because they're so much less interested in TV. They've just become more interested in their cell phones and their iPads and other screens than the TV screen. But their time, TV time, has actually gone down in young adults and teenagers. But I want you to consider this. If you watch 3 hours of TV a day, at the end of your life, you will have watched 9 years of TV. That's not 9 years in waking hours. That's 9 years of 24 hours a day you will have watched TV. Here's where it really gets scary, though. In fact, I had to triple check these statistics because I couldn't hardly believe it. We think of teenagers as wasting a lot of time watching TV, but the truth is as we age, with each decade, we watch more. Check it out. Some of you are thinking, preacher's lying. Preacher's making stuff up. Check it out. By the time that people are 55, my age, the average person watches close to 40 hours a week of TV. Holy cow. I'm so busy. You're tangled up. And I'm going to go there. Here it comes. Don't get mad at me. Those who are 65 and over, they say the average person 65 and over watches 50 hours of TV per week. That makes me tired just to think about it. That makes me depressed just to think about it. 50 hours a week. Our teenagers are going, yeah, get them. But here's the bottom line. Whether you're a teenager or you're 35 or 45, listen, it doesn't matter. When you think about the years of your life that are being invested, if you live to be 75, and whether it's TV and Facebook and whatever else on the internet and texting and all this stuff, that things that just seem to consume so much of our time today, how many years of your life are being wasted time is wasted life. And I shared those statistics and talked about that because I want to get you started thinking about how precious our time is and how much it means. It's much more than, well, you know, I wasted a few hours. We're wasting our life. John 10 and 10 says that the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. I want you to know Jesus wants you to have the very best kind of life that you can have. But there is an enemy of your soul who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to steal your time. He wants to keep you from really enjoying life and doing the things that are most important in life. Ephesians 2:10 is a verse that I've used often over the last few years. I feel like it is one of those verses that just speaks to our generation. It's one that needs to be heard again and again in the body of Christ. It says, "We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." You need to know this, that you're God's workmanship, that he designed you for a specific purpose. There are good works that he prepared beforehand that you should walk in them. There are things that God wants you to do. He designed you to do them. And understand that if you find yourself too busy to do the things that God wants you to do, your time is tangled up. Your life is entangled, and you are failing to see that the enemy has deceived you. He's gotten you confused about what's really important. I'm telling you, my prayer this morning is that people would just get free from their busy, busy schedule. You see, Satan wants you to feel like you're too busy to be able to stop in the middle of your day and help somebody. He wants you to feel like you're too busy to pull aside for 20 minutes and talk with your child. He wants you to think that you're too busy to get involved in ministry. In fact, he wants you to think that you're so busy you really don't even have time to go to church. You're just too busy. Oh, how we need to see the trick, the scheme of Satan that's at work in our time. You know, when you think about all the responsibilities of life and everything that we have on us and we have to deal with, and we start thinking, well, I'm just busy. Is there any of us that can compare our responsibility with the responsibility that the Lord Jesus Christ himself bore to come and to save humanity? And when you think about the ministry of Jesus, that his public ministry was for only 3 years, and in that 3 years, he himself testified that he accomplished everything that the Father gave him to do. In other words, he could say that he did everything that he was supposed to. He fulfilled the purpose of God in his life. And yet when you read about the life of Jesus and how he went about ministering and doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, and you see the works of Jesus, you will never ever find Jesus in a hurry. You will never ever find Jesus running. You'll never ever find him flying across the sky because he, you know, like Superman, because he had to get somewhere else really fast. You'll never find it in there. You know why? Because Jesus didn't have his time tangled up. He was always where he was supposed to be, when he was supposed to be, doing the things he was supposed to be doing. He had time for sick people, for messed up people, for demon-possessed people, and he had time for little children to pick them up in his arms and bless them. But a lot of us, we're so busy. We don't have time for that stuff. We're busy, tangled up. It's time to get untangled. one of the things that happens when people are diagnosed with a terminal illness, it's kind of cliche to talk about, but it's so real that when they know that they're facing death at a certain time, they begin to value what time they do have. They don't want to waste any more of their life. They want to make every moment count. And I want you to understand that in a very real way, all of us are here on a very limited time. And it's short. James chapter 4, verse 13 and 14, he says, "Come now, you who say today or tomorrow we'll go to such and such a city and spend a year there and buy and sell and make a profit. You do not know what will happen tomorrow." In other words, we can't assume about how much time we have or what we're going to accomplish. But here's the rest of it. He says, "For what is your life?" Well, he's going to tell you, what is your life? "It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away." You see, in the view of eternity, our life is just a little bit of time. It's just a vapor here for a very short time. Our eternity, it's going to last a really long time. But our life here on earth, it's just a little time, it said. It appears for a little time and then vanishes away. How precious it is. Don't waste it. Don't waste another minute. Don't allow yourself to be tangled up with fruitless things that aren't going to matter in eternity. No, we got to learn to be wise with our time. Ephesians 5, 15 and 16 says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil." So we got to learn to be wise in how we use our time, how we spend it, how we invest it. If we don't use our time wisely, what happens is that at some point we look back over our life with regret. We wish we would have done this, wish we would have done that, wish we would have invested our time in a different way, wish we were at a different place in life now. I'm just telling you, a life that where you waste time is always a life with regret. But when we use our time wisely and we know that we've done our best and done what God wanted us to do, there's such joy in that. Those same verses in the NIV, it says it this way, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity." And I just think that's so powerful because all of us have opportunities every day, opportunities to do something for God or to minister to somebody, to help somebody, to make a difference in this world, or to be Jesus to somebody. We all have opportunities every day. Do we make the most of them? So I want to give you four very simple things this morning that you can remember because it is the acronym TIME, T-I-M-E. The first one is treasure. You got to treasure your time. Realize how precious it is. People say time is money. Well, I know what they mean. They mean, well, with more time, I can make more money. But the truth is that time is much more valuable than money. Time is much more precious than money. You can always get more money, but you can't always get more time. And no matter how much money you got, you can't buy time. Everybody gets 24 hours in a day. And I'm just telling you, time is precious. You got to treasure it. Psalms 90 and verse 12 is a strange, unusual verse of scripture. It says, "Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom." Now, he's not talking about that you need to try to figure out when you're going to die and figure out how many days you've got left, although that might bring some clarity to you. But he's talking about just realizing how precious time is, that our days are numbered. We don't have forever. How are we going to use them? He says that in learning to number our days, we gain a heart of wisdom. See, when you realize that time is a treasure, it's precious, it can't be wasted, then it causes you to want to use your time wisely and make good choices, not just allowing your time to be stolen away or taken away, but you want to use it wisely. Treasure it. Next, time is to be invested. You can't save time. You can only invest it. I mentioned it earlier. We got all these time-saving devices. Well, guess what? They don't save time. You just got to choose how you're going to use your time. You got 168 hours in each week, just like everybody else. Doesn't matter what your job is. It doesn't matter if you're a student, a homemaker, a businessman. Everybody gets 168 hours. The average person is going to sleep for about 56 hours. They're going to work and travel to and from work for about 50 hours a week. They're going to spend about 24 hours in eating and personal hygiene, and we're glad about that, right? But the bottom line is that leaves about 35 hours a week that we could call discretionary time, about 5 hours a day. And some of you are thinking, 5 hours a day? I don't have 5 minutes a day. So tangled up. But if that's true, if you're average, we're just talking about averages, and if you're average, how are you going to invest that discretionary time? What is worthy? What do you deem as something that is meaningful in life and in eternity, something that would really matter? What's worth this precious commodity that you only have so much of? How are you going to invest it? But let me just say this. Invest it. Don't let life just happen to you, but instead you decide the things that are really important and how you're going to invest that time. Next, time has to be managed. It's a big, hot topic of the day. They have time management seminars, especially for executives, so that they will use their time wisely. They realize that if they're going to be successful, then they have to manage their time properly. In one of these seminars, a man got out a big jar and he filled it with some rocks, big rocks, and then he poured in pebbles, and then he poured sand in, and then he poured water in. And each time, it looked like the jar was filled, but he was able to add something else. And so he said, "What is the meaning of this?" And they said, "It means that no matter how busy, how full your life may be, you can always add something else." And he said, "Wrong." Sounds like the pastor. I'm busy, 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 but pastor says I need to add this in. No. The point of the illustration is that you've got to put the big things in first. The priorities of life, the things that really deserve your time, those are the big rocks. They have to go in first. If they don't, you will never get them in. You see, first you've got to have a relationship with God. You got to have time for God in your life. You've got to have time for your family, the things that really matter in life. You've got to have time for your church and to be involved in the work of the kingdom and the cause of Christ. I'm telling you, you got to decide what's important, and then you have to manage your time. And whenever you talk about time management, let me tell you what a big part of it is. In fact, it doesn't matter if you're talking about time or money. If you're going to manage your time and make things priority, you're going to have to learn to say no to some things. And that's exactly the point of the message this morning, is that so many people are so tangled up with their time, they just don't have time for the things that are really important. I'm telling you, you've got to learn to say no to some things. Talk about management. If someone is managing the finances of a company, if they're the accountant or the bookkeeper of a company, and all of the sudden the money just seems to not be there, not things are not going well, and someone comes to this bookkeeper, this accountant, and they say, you know, hey, what's going on here? And the accountant says, well, I just don't know where the money went. That's really bad. You're in big trouble. Now, a lot of people handle their personal finances like that. They say, I just don't know where the money went. It's not a crime, but it's certainly not being a good steward. I'll tell you what's even worse than that. We hear it all the time. I just don't know where the time went. Oh, how we need to be good managers of our time and take charge of our life. And know how we're using our time. Listen, how we're using our life. You see, if you have little children at home, I got to tell you, it's going to go by so fast. You'll just turn around and they're grown. You need to realize how precious that time is. Make time for the things that are really important. Now, when mine were little and we wanted to have quality time with ours, we strapped them in a car seat in the church van while we hauled teenagers around. Some of you remember that. But I'm just telling you, that you got to find the time. You got to make time for the things that are really important. I remember when I was a little boy. I'm 55. But I remember when I was 8, 9, 10 years old. And so many days, my dad would go out in the backyard and play catch football with me. Day after day. Precious time. You see, I hope you understand the message this morning. I'm not talking about you getting busier and busier. You just need to be busy for God. I'm talking about you learning to untangle your time so that you can do the things that are really valuable in life, so that you can do the things that are really meaningful. And here's the last part of the acronym, enjoy. I really believe God intends for us to enjoy this life. Jesus came to give us life and give us life more abundantly. And Jesus accomplished everything that his Father gave him to do. And I believe he enjoyed his life. I know some of you are thinking, well, what about the cross? He endured the cross for the joy set before him. I'm just telling you, I believe Jesus He says, come to me, all you are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Oh, what a message for our culture. Some of you dads this morning, you feel like you bear the weight of the world. Jesus is saying, come to me, and I'll give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. And listen to this. He says, my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. I believe that's for you this morning, for every one of you, that you can enjoy your time.
Oh, but you got to be willing to say no to some things. You got to be willing to say yes to the right things. And all of this pushing and pulling of the world and all of these activities and devices and things that would draw you in and entangle your time, I'm telling you, you need to get free from those things. Some of you just need to clear your schedule and just start over and say, okay, what's really important here? I want to clarify this. The Bible says that a man that doesn't provide for his family is worse than an infidel. And certainly, we need to work and pay our bills and be responsible. But hear me now. No man at the end of his life ever said, I wished I hadn't spent so much time with my kids. I wished I would have worked more. Nobody ever said that. Enjoy your time. Enjoy your time with God. Mary and Martha invited the Lord Jesus over to their house for dinner, and Martha was so busy trying to get everything ready, and she was all upset, and she comes to Jesus. She's mad because Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus just listening, and she's up working and doing everything, and she says to Jesus, Lord, make my sister help me. And Jesus says to her, Martha, Martha, you are upset. You are troubled about many things. Sounds like most believers today. They're upset. They're troubled about many things. But he says, Mary has chosen the best part, and it will not be taken away from her. Choose the best part. There's one thing that's absolutely necessary, that time with Jesus, to enjoy your relationship with God. Enjoy it. Enjoy your time with your family. Enjoy your time at work. Enjoy your time in ministry, working for the kingdom. Enjoy it. It passes all too quickly. And when this life is over, you'll know that you did what God had for you to do. I want you to stand with me, and as we pray, I want our prayer partners to come. Father, I thank you for the word of the Lord, the truth that sets free. And I pray, Father, that those that have been tangled up in their time, I pray, Father, they'll just find a new freedom in the name of Jesus, new joy, enjoyment in life, Father, in Jesus' name. And Father, I just pray that if there are those here that are away from you, I pray that you would just draw them into a closer relationship with you. Father, that you would touch their heart today. Let them know, Father, how much you love them, how much you want a relationship with them. Father, I pray that this word will not be forgotten, but Father, we will treasure our time, invest it, manage it, and enjoy it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we dismiss this morning. I want to give you the opportunity to come for prayer. I know there are some of you here that you find yourself just so busy, just not really enjoying life, just hurried all the time. I want you to realize it doesn't have to be that way. I know you think it's impossible for you to slow down, but I'm telling you, God can help you turn it all around, help you get free in your schedule, in your life. Some of you, you really want to serve God. You want to be used of God, but you know you've just been too tangled up. It's time to get free this morning. Some of you are saying, Pastor, I don't know what you're talking about when you're talking about enjoying it. It's just a battle for me. I believe the Lord wants you to get free from that this morning. There's a place in Him where you can relax, where you can find real peace. Whatever your prayer need might be this morning, these prayer partners are here to pray with you and minister to you. So as we dismiss, I encourage you to come for prayer. You don't have to leave out of here with a burden. Just come and let the Lord lift that off your shoulders. Lord, bless you. Fathers, have a blessed day. And may each and every one of you enjoy this day in Jesus' name. Lord, bless you.